Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, we're coming to you from Indianapolis, WILL, Indianapolis, Indiana. This is Church Chat, where we talk about real issues. Stay tuned for this portion of Church Chat.
Mike Flukas, and it's Wednesday. We're coming to you from our WILL studios in Indianapolis, Indiana. To all of you listening via the World Wide Web, welcome to Church Chat Talk Radio on Blog Talk Online Network, where real church folk talk about real issues. To all of you listening to our live broadcast, you can listen or talk to the host. Today, we're happy to have as a guest a member of the 10-Point Coalition, Mr. Daryl Jones. Welcome to the show, Daryl Jones.
Hey, Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Like I said, we're going to talk about the 10-Point Coalition, but first we'd like to find out a little bit about yourself and how you evolved to become a member of the 10-Point Coalition.
Okay, Mike, sure, I have no problem with doing that. Okay, once again, my name is Daryl Jones. I got involved with 10-Point Coalition in 2008. I joined Barnes United Methodist Church, and the president of 10-Point is the pastor of the church. So he asked me join him, so I did. At the same time, I was wanting to do something like that because my history led me that way. I came from a pretty good home. I mean, I had both parents. I didn't want for nothing. I didn't have everything, but I didn't want for nothing. Went to school, graduated from high school, went to college. Didn't graduate from college, but went to college, come home. Kind of got mixed up in the streets a little bit. Not just a little bit, got mixed up in the streets. I got in the streets, and got caught in the streets. So consequently, I ended up, using drugs, going to prison several times, and just being around people doing the type of things that are going on now. Not so much killing, but, a lot of the other stuff that's going on now, the criminal activity. So the last time I was in prison, one of my daughters came to visit me. And she said to me, it's funny, but the only time I really see you is when you're incarcerated. Well, that really touched me. So I went back to my cell, and I thought about that, and I cried, and I did this, and I got on my knees and told the Lord, I'm through with this. I need to do something else. Help me find something else to do, something that I would like to do that I thought I was good at. Well, I was good in the streets. So, okay, if I was good in the streets doing bad things, why come I can't be good in the street doing good things? So that led me to 10-Point. I was led to Barnes Church. He brought that proposition to me, and I'm like, wow, Lord, he heard me. He's listening to my prayers because this is exactly what I want to do, give back. And that's what I'm doing. That's what got me there.
Okay.
And that's what I'm doing now. That's what got me there.
That's a good segue. That's a good segue into so you were a child of the streets, so to speak, as far as, the little minor crimes were concerned, and so you know the streets, and probably you got some street creds out there, like the kids say. So
I earned that too.
Thing for you to belong. So
yeah, I learned that too.
So I know you got a lot of weight out there. They'll listen to you. Okay, that was very good. That was a very good testimony. And we want to know, what is the structure of the 10-Point Coalition? In other words, what is it a certain number of people, and how long when you go out on patrols, we'll say, do you stay, and how many people, and
just who was involved beside the pastor and some other people. Can you just give our audience an understanding of how what the structure of the 10-point coalition would be?
Yes. You know, a lot of people does have 10-point mixed up or are not sure what it is that we really do. Now, first of all, we're not police. We don't make arrests. We don't interfere in violence. I mean, what we do is we go on the streets. We try to find young people. We only targeting, 10-point is only targeting young men from 14 to 24 years old. Not women, not any men, not people over that age. We target from 14, actually we went down to 12 now, from 12 to 24 years of age. So what we do is we get out in the streets, we find them gentlemen, and we try to find out what their needs are first. Our first thing is introduce ourselves, find out what their needs are. If we can't provide the need for them, then we try to guide them in the area where they can get the need, whatever that may be, because there's several reasons why these kids are doing what they're doing, you know. Right. So we try to guide them to wherever it is they need to go in order to better their life. But we also do things like we go to prayer vigils. You know, when people have tragedy in their family, we go to their house, we pray with them. You know, we try to help them in any other kind of way that they may need help in. I mean, we just try to help the community. We get involved in the community. We get involved with the community, neighborhood community. Actually, I'm in the UNWAL area, so I'm involved with UNWAL. I mean, we try to know what's going on in the neighborhood. If there's an issue between two gentlemen and it gets to one of us, or two gangs and it gets to one of us, you know, one of us probably or should be able or could communicate with somebody out of one of the gangs. So what we'll do is go to the whatever gang it is that we communicate with and talk to them and try to bring the two together, which we have done that, and bring the two together and find a point where, hey, y'all don't have to pick up these guns to settle this problem.
Right.
Yeah. And that's basically what 10-point do. I know people think we do a lot, because, you know, we get a lot of calls for things that I just don't know why they think we can do it, you know. But, I mean, actually, I got a call one time. A lady said her next-door neighbor was putting a fence up, and it was in, some of it was in her yard. Oh, okay. I mean, you know. You know, I mean, but them were kind of, you know, them are the kind of things and questions, and them are the kind of things that we receive that people think that we can deal with or take care of, you know. But all we deal with is young men from 14 to 24 years old. We try to find out what their needs is, and we try to cater to their needs. If they need mentoring, we'll do mentoring. If they need schooling, we'll try to find somebody that can help them with their schooling or get them into school. You know, if they're hungry, if they need food, we'll go to a pantry somewhere and get them food, because some of those parents are not home, you know what I'm saying? You know, and they got to try to eat for themselves. You know, so we go to pantries and get food for them. We try to meet their needs so that they don't have to be out here in the streets hurting people in order to eat.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. That's good. You know, you have answered my question. I had it in my mind, now, what kind of needs do you meet as far as some of these young men along the way in the community? And I think that's great what you do, and I'm certainly see that your group is focused on a certain age group. Is it from 12 or 14 to 24? Is that did I understand
it's
that 12, right?
12 to 24. I said 14 at first, but it's 12 to 24. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that probably accounts for the success that has gone to 10-point coalition, because if they're especially focused on certain thing, on a certain group of young men, certainly that group of young men are almost what you say, almost targeted, you know, by law enforcement
society,
just by being
not society.
Yeah.
You know, and so they, you know, and all these young kids wear their pants hanging down, so you know they automatically stereotype them, but a lot of these kids are not bad because they wear just a fashion, you know.
Well, it will pass.
Yeah,
I don't know how soon, but it'll pass.
We
hurry it up, because they probably say the same thing about us when we're coming up about
that's
certain
right.
things.
That's right.
I know they
I agree
did.
With you there. Yeah,
I know
with you
did.
There.
Yeah,
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, we know one thing, that you're a focus group and not just, you know, all over the place, you know, like handling people's neighborhood disputes, relative defenses, and, you know, but that's good to know. So now we're getting somewhere. I understand exactly what the object is, and we'll try to pass that along. Okay, now, initially, what part of, and it started in Annapolis here, but it was like marble from another city, I think in New England. I'm not sure about that. But anyway,
Boston, Massachusetts.
Boston, Massachusetts, yes, certainly, yes, and it was brought here. And then, and then what side of town did you start in Indianapolis did you start to focus on relative to the 10-point coalition initially?
Well, I think when the 10-point coalition first started, I think they were all over the city.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't there when they first started here. I believe they were all over the city. But when I
all
started,
over the city.
We were, when I started working with 10-point, which was 10 years ago, we were trying to work every area that was known as a hot spot in the city. Well, we come to find out that we couldn't stay focused on like we are now because we didn't have enough people, first of all, because it's basically volunteering. I mean, they do give us stipend, but it's not a whole lot of money made. We don't make a whole lot of money. So a lot of people don't want to do it, you know. But so we were spreading ourselves too thin, so we couldn't really get nothing really. I mean, we were working, don't get me wrong, and we were getting some success, but the reason we're getting the success we're getting now is because we just put ourselves in an area and focused on that area. So we weren't spreading so thin. You know, we had groups over here, groups over there, and then they may not show up, two or three people, you know, and then somebody from this area would have to go to that area. I mean, it was kind of confusing. But now that we focused on the 46208 area, and we've worked, it's been wonderful, it's been beautiful. I mean, the murder, the violence has went down tremendously. If anybody checks, they're going to see that. I mean, they may not agree with saying the 10-point is the reason it happens, but I don't know, you know, what other reason you could come up with.
What other reason?
Say the police force, not to be talking about the police force, but if you say the police force, then why come it's still happening in all these other areas that we're not in? You know, so.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Very good.
So, and we try to have at least three people together at one time. The Sunmar area that I have, that I'm the team lead of, is a very big area. So we try to have like no less than three people in a group.
I got you.
Yeah.
Right.
And we go around.
And you go around. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. We go around and we know where the hot spots are because we got people to tell us stuff too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We got people to tell us stuff. Plus, you know, some of us has been in the street, so we can see what's, you know, I can see, you know, for me, I can see, okay, they doing this over here. You know what I mean? You know, I can see that because I've been in the streets, you know. But, it seems it's worked out beautifully. I mean, it's worked out beautifully.
Well, that's good.
The 462 Roy area is doing really great. It's doing really good.
Well, that's good. That's really glad to hear, and I wish that would get more publicity in our newspaper. I think it did, but we need probably more of that. Maybe. And you say that the murder rate has gone down in the 4-6. Is that just the murder rate, or in the 4-6-2-8 area? Is it all together? Okay.
Yep, violence all together. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's certainly wonderful. That's a great achievement, you know, considering what it was before. Okay, we're going to pause now and for a 34-second PSA and gather your breath, and we'll be right back in 34 seconds.
All righty.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans in your community, then join AMVET. Each year, AMVET's members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast, helping to improve the lives of their fellow veterans through the VA Voluntary Services Program. AMVET's posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects, ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. If you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETs by joining today at amvets.org.
Okay, we're back now, and we're discussing the 10-point coalition. And we're happy that you're with us here. And our guest this evening is Mr. Darrell Jones, a member of the 10-point coalition. and he's here with us today, like we said. Now, last year, I believe it was, that you had a 10-point coalition, had a meeting with the DOJ from Washington. What was the cause of the meeting or the reason for the meeting, and what were some of the outcomes, and what was the interaction like?
Well, it was a great experience, first of all, to be around the Attorney General of the United States.
Right.
And what happened was he had heard about the success that we are having, and he wanted to know, why are they having success over here and it's not happening anywhere else? So he came down here, and the whole purpose, to make a long story short, is they were thinking about considering making a model out of 10-point coalition across the nation.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So he came down for himself to see what was going on, before he endorsed something like that to happen.
Oh yeah, that makes
sense. That's what he was doing. It was a great experience for him to be. I mean, it was a lot of confusion going around, I guess I should say, because him being a Republican and we're supposed to be Democrats and all that kind of stuff. A lot of that went around, so that kind of made it a little difficult for us. But at the same time, our concern was our young youth, our young men. That's what our concern was.
Okay.
We didn't care who it was, if he could help us.
Take help from anybody. I think I've heard Reverend Harrison express that point. It's not the point of view of your politics, but it's the point of view of your focus on our young youth, and that supersede everything, And sometimes we get involved too much in political situations, and the youth is still out there. He's saying he's desperately crying for help. He said, "What about us?" Sometimes the adults are not the adults that should be in the room. That is a wonderful situation to have been in. And also, I believe the Attorney General from here, Indiana, I think he awarded the 10-point coalition an award, an amount of money and placards and everything. Tell us about that.
Yeah, he did. What it is it's not so much that he awarded. Well, I guess I could say he did. What he's doing is he wanted it across the state. He wanted 10-point across the state. So we're in Fort Wayne.
Right.
We have a chapter in Gary. We have partners in Kokomo. We got partners in Muncie. We got partners in Richmond. I mean, we across the state now. And then for the national thing, we're getting ready to be national. We're in Cleveland, Ohio. Let me see. Little Rock, Arkansas, then called us. St. Louis, then called us. There's quite a few cities that called us to come, and the pastor and some of the board members have been going to them cities, discussing putting 10-point there, because I think we're going to be national. They're going to model after 10-point, the national model.
That's great. That's great to hear. Mm-hmm. So when the pastor and maybe a representative body goes from the 10-point coalition, can you take us through what kind of models they discussed at these various cities in general? What do they do? They just barely talk about and show the success rate, or how do they present that model?
Well, I'm not really sure because I've never went with them.
The only thing
I could think that they're doing is just, doing what we do, showing them what we do, how we go out, I'm sure they mentioned that they need an OG. They need someone that's, recognized in the criminal area, because, what I've learned is, like for instance, if you was in school and you had a math problem and you couldn't figure it out, well, you wouldn't go to the science teacher and ask them. You would go to the math.
Not at all. No, that's right.
Right. So it's kind of like that with us. What we're called OGs. It's kind of like with us. They'll talk to us before they talk to a person they don't think been through what they've been through, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
So, okay. And so it's almost have to have, from my perspective, you almost have to have an OG in order to make this work, because we can talk their language. Not only we can talk their language, we can kind of recognize when it's a bunch of bull and when it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we probably used it or then seen it or something ourselves. So that helps a lot, and it helps with the kids because they don't mind. I can go in here in Unwall, anywhere in Unwall, and talk to any kids over. They don't mind talking to me. You know, they know who I am. Some of them know some of my background. Some of them know all of my background. But at the same time, they don't mind talking to me because they know that I'm talking genuine. They know I'm not just out there for the money.
Right, right.
They know that I'm out there for them.
Right. That's right.
You know, and
that
makes a difference. It makes a difference. You know,
if
they feel that you're just out there for the money, they're not going to respond to you.
No. Yeah, I know that. You know, I think Reverend Harrison talks in his sermon sometime about, maybe not so much in the sermon, but maybe he does it, but I get mixed up because I go to Bible study and church too. I'm not patting myself on the back, but what I'm trying to say is that a lot of times he just walks over to the service station and the guys just start talking to him just like he was one of them, you know. And I kind of think that that's a kind of a great thing. And like you would walk anywhere, somebody just talking to you like you're just one of them, you know. And I think that is probably because of the reputation that you guys have in the neighborhood, you know. Like like some people are kind of scared to even go over in the at that gas station. It's a Marathon, I believe, and scared. But myself, I'm not scared. You know, I mean, you know, I worked over at Broadway in that area too. So, and I was all I felt very much at home over there because I knew the kids out. I worked at Decatur, as you know, and then and I was never had any fear when I heard all these bad things about Ruckel and Central and all that stuff over there. So I can really equate what is happening here, and that's a good thing. And we've really enjoyed this. Time has gone real quick, and we really enjoyed talking to you. That's what I said. Wow, looking up the clock. Do you have any closing statements that you'd like to make to our audience?
Well, you know, for all you ones that are listening, don't think that Ken Point is doing this all by ourselves. We need the whole community. We need the village back. We need everybody. We need parents. We need neighbors. We need pastors. We need bus drivers. We need, you know, everybody. Everybody needs to start pitching in and helping out because we're losing our kids at an astronomical rate. You know, at the rate we're going, we're already a minority. I mean, there's more white folks than us, I guess I should say Caucasians or however you want to call it. There's more Mexicans.
Right.
I mean, we're killing ourselves. Okay, on the percentage, they go 100,000 people. On 100,000 black men, we're killing ourselves, or youth, I should say, 17%. Versus the white population is 3%, and the Mexican population is 3.5%.
Wow.
And we're already the minority, so we need to open our eyes and wake up and understand that this is really serious. This is an epidemic. This is really serious. This is not just, he's out in the streets, because it's not that no more. Innocent people are getting killed now. You know,
right?
And so we need to wake up. We need to all get together and try to help out. I know everybody can't do what I do, but there's something you can do that I probably can't do that can help a youth. You know, if you got tutoring skills, maybe you can come in or get with us. We can find you kids that you can tutor, you know, or whatever. You know, just we need to bring the village back. We need everybody to get into this. We need
the village.
I want for people to understand that this. Yeah, I want for people to understand that this is really serious business. This is really serious business.
Now, if we have some listeners in the audience that hear this, can they contact you? How can they contact you?
Okay, my number is 317-755-9471.
Okay. All right, and that would be
Want me to repeat
Dale
that again?
Jones. Okay. Yes, you can repeat
yes,
it.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dale Jones. Once again, it's 317-755-9471. Or they can also call the church. And that
right.
number is, which is Barnes United Methodist Church, and that number is 317-923-9197. 317-923-9197. That's Barnes United Methodist Church. They can call either one of them.
Very
numbers.
Good. Very good. I want to thank you, Mr. Dale Jones, who we finally got together
and
put on this program. No, this is my pleasure to do this for you. We enjoyed so much listening to you, a man who no nonsense and knows what it's all about, an OG, we might say. But it's been a pleasure for you to come on and tell us more about 10-Point Coalition, and especially I like the part about the focus where it's on our young men. What
mm-hmm.
was that again? From 12 to 24, right?
12 to 24. Yes, sir.
Got
12
it.
To 24.
Okay, if I didn't know one thing about this, I know that, and that's certainly the age that our young men are most vulnerable in. And you guys
right.
got it. You got the nail on the head. But again, want to thank you for coming on with Church Chat tonight, and I hope that our listeners will have heed some of the things that we said, and I hope that you want to give that number of the church one more time.
Sure. 317-923-9197. That's Barnes United Methodist Church.
Okay. Okay, folks, you heard it here. And we want to thank Dale Jones for appearing on Church Talk tonight. All right. Good night. All right. Next July the 17th, we'll have Leadership, LLC, and that will feature Janie Cante Mitchell, Ph.D., and that will be at 6:30 p.m. And remember, life is simple, people complicated. Good night.
That's all for Church Chat this evening. And hope you'll join us next time for another episode of Church Chat. This has been a WILL Blog Talk Radio presentation.